Thank you very much. So again, my name is Bernard Hoekman. I'm a director of global economics at the university, at the European University Institute in Florence, and I'm joined here with Mark Gottfredson, who is a senior partner with Bain, and with Ambassador Geeta Hoon from Ethiopia, who are going to discuss the reports. We're a bit over time, so I'm going to keep it very short. And I feel quite comfortable keeping it very short because I think most of what I would have said has already been said, in particular by Mr. Belil and by Minister Tete. Let me just briefly kind of some of the highlights of the book before I pass it on to my co-panelists here. So what the book really does, and it's been an interesting exercise to do this, and I should mention that this has very much been a collaborative effort led by Anders Eru, who is sitting over there, who has played an important role in this, and Friedrich von Kirchbach, who many of you will know much better than I do, who, of course, is an old-timer in the ITC, and a lot of what is in this report really comes from him. So just some highlights. So clearly the world economy has changed dramatically. We've heard that by a number of speakers. We've seen huge changes in the world economy. We've seen huge increases in the share of trade to GDP, in the openness of countries. We've seen a huge amount of trade liberalization that has occurred, not just trade liberalization, lots of other economic policies. And I think trade has been very effectively used, and the report documents this, by quite a large number of countries in terms of increasing growth rates over a large period of time, reducing poverty. But at the same time, Ambassador Aga also stressed in his intervention, you know, this the pattern of the ability of countries to actually use the trading system has varied quite a bit. Now, as the minister said, one of the regions that traditionally has used the trading system much less effectively than others is sub-Saharan Africa, but that is changing very fast. So in a sense, we're in a very different world potentially looking forward than we were in looking back. So I think one of the things I get from reading the report is that the future looks a lot more positive than the past might have been, and I hope that that will be realized. Just five brief points in terms of kind of implications for the work of the ITC and technical assistance relating to trade, which I'm sure we'll pick up in the discussion. One is that we live now today in a multipolar world economy, right? We've seen the reemergence of large countries like China and India in the world economy, and that is going to be a growth pole for many decades to come. So one of the implications of that is you really need to focus not just on the traditional markets for exports, but really focusing on these new, or like I said, the re-emerging markets, which are more dynamic, very large, and which are in many ways different in terms of what consumers are looking for there. Increasingly, these countries are going to be sources of foreign direct investment, sources of knowledge, etc. So I think that is one of the things that comes out quite clearly from the report, which has implications for what an organization like ITC should be doing, even if it just means redirecting attention to working with these countries to actually pursue the mandate of the ITC. Secondly, global value chains, global supply chains, international production networks, fragmentation, vertical specialization, whatever you want to call it, this is something that really is a new, not a new technology per se, but this is the way the world works today. And I think it is a huge opportunity for small and medium-sized enterprises. And this is something that is stressed in the report, partly for reasons that have already been expressed by the previous panel. It offers small companies a way to export indirectly by connecting into these value chains, not having to rely on lots of other things having to be produced domestically in order for them to do that. But increasingly, it also offers them an opportunity to sell things directly. And this is the third point that comes out clearly in the discussion in the book, is, you know, technology is changing quite rapidly. It is continuing to change. As was already mentioned, we have 3D printing potentially not exactly around the corner, but we have potentially disruptive technologies which are going to make a big difference. But I think much more importantly, in the here and now, e-commerce, the ability to use the internet to actually directly interact with buyers anywhere in the world is a huge opportunity for SMEs. And there's a very interesting discussion by Wendy Jones in the book from eBay that actually highlights how you could actually and what the potential there is. And I think the statistics that we see today are already quite impressive in terms of the internationalization of small and medium-sized enterprises, and that can only grow quite dramatically. Fourth point, regulatory barriers to trade and more traditional trade barriers are still with us. But increasingly, the agenda in terms of actually supporting trade integration is becoming much more complicated. Partly that's because consumers are insisting much more on health, safety, quality standards. Partly there's all kinds of other dimensions which point to regulation. Partly it's because increasingly what we're talking about in internationalization is not so much the movement of products, but it's really more about services. It's about tasks and activities, and those tend to be more regulated because people want to have a sense that what they're buying actually is of high quality. So I think this is a big challenge in terms of helping SMEs in developing countries deal with this agenda. And this relates to some of the things we heard in the previous panel. How do you actually help successful firms to grow, right? So it's not just helping small firms to get into a market for the first time. One of the things that a lot of the research points out to that is summarized in the report is that the key challenge is actually to help the firms that are actually successful. How do you get them to become bigger? How do you get them to capture the economies of scale? Because at the end of the day, it's really the large firms that do most of the trading. So the challenge is how do you get more of those large firms to actually grow in the countries that are the main focus of the ITC. So this complexity points to the need for actually talking to firms. So increasingly, as the policy environment becomes more complicated, you know, top-down technocratic approaches, there is no one-size-fits-all kind of solution to these things. You really need, and this has been stressed repeatedly in the previous panel, so I would just echo that. It really is an issue of talking to the people who are potentially seeing investment opportunities to work with them to try and deal with some of the constraints they confront. This partnership dimension also comes out, it came out clearly in Mr. De Soto's talk as well. You need to work across international organizations and really build on your strengths. And that's the last point that I would emphasize here, which is discussed a little bit in the report, but I think deserves a lot more reflection. You know, you can't do everything, so what do you actually focus on? What are the key needs? And I think that, again, points to the need to actually consult with your client base, if I can use that word, in terms of identifying where the real needs are and where the potential is greatest. Let me stop there and turn it over to Mark Gottfredson.